Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Saturday, December 21st, 2025. We just missed the solstice, or in it. They were doing the human sacrifice last night in Denver, Colorado. The 12 disciples of Satan. Anyway, I've got stuff posted on my site, but I haven't recently put that up because of different things that are going on. They're attacking me in every direction they can. Telephones and computers, etc. And internet site. Folks, I've got some incredible stuff getting ready to be posted today and tomorrow. With that said, I have Professor Joe on with me. And Joe is full of information. Oh my God. And knowledge. He's got 250 years of wisdom and knowledge. Go ahead, Joe. Tell us the latest.
This is supposed to be just a casual conversation, but I'll start it off, get it down the road. Where are the arrests, Stu? Where are the arrests? We keep hearing they're coming, no arrest. Same thing happened under the Trump administration in his last years as and his first presidency. Send a new attorney general, nothing happened.
Okay, now...
That means, this is what people can't get in their head.
You're
correct. The Republican Party is owned by Zionists, period. That is who the mega group is.
Now, define that, mega, M-E-G-A, or mega, make America great
MAGA,
again.
Not mega, they got mega from mega. G-A is a name thought of by Lex Lester, who owns Victoria's Secret, gathered a bunch of billionaires and made this group called Mega Group. Jerome Corsi is one of those that said that is who controls Trump, that is who brought him and boosted him into his presidency. They are the same guys that are controlling him now. Now, to give you an understanding of Mega Group, that included men who worked with Epstein. Does that give you ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Know what the group is?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're correct.
David Brock and William McKenna, I think I got his last name correctly, they are two members of Mega. And David said in an interview to Haaretz, we will not allow any alt-right or Tucker Carlson into the Republican Party. Bill said the same thing. And we will no longer use the Heritage Document 25, in which the Heritage Foundation took time to work up a list of people that they could put into the new, to have a new crop under the deep state. And Bill said, or William said, we will provide that ourselves from our group. So now we have the explosion of Kirk and what's going on with him and what turned him. And you had this explosion of listing the number of people that are Zionists. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are not. But the point being here is they are in control, and that's why things don't turn out the way that they say they're going to do. Nothing has changed. Except we're not letting 40 million in to the country, but it's still a guided script. And I have a feeling, just an inclination, I think there's going to be a change in the sense that Vance is going to be put into the presidency early. Now, Peter Thiel is his handler, and Peter Thiel is the group that is providing Palantir, that will provide all kinds of algorithms to deepen the surveillance state, and that's what's going to happen. It's happening. happening now, particularly with AI. So what is going to happen now? We are going to get closer and closer to the world of Big Brother and the surveillance state.
Indeed.
And that one, yeah, can you remember where, who are the peoples that promoted, why is it that Israel is the king of cyberspace? How did that happen?
That's true, they are.
How do you think it happens, Stu?
Well, it was Intel, and they set up a telephone company, and for the U.S. government, Israel did, and they're using it. It was formed in Arkansas, involved the Clintons and everybody else, but they formed the phone company, and it controls the U.S. government's telephones. That means their internet, their telephones, and it's all run out of Israel, and it includes Intel, the Bill Hamilton story. Whitney Webb did an excellent story, no relationship, excellent story on Inslaw. Bill, I talked to him, and I talked to him several times because Bill McCoy was working his case, and Bill was former Inspector General at the U.S. Department of in 63, the Chase, Assistant Inspector General, chased Chichi Quintero down at the Canadian border after they murdered Kennedy. And he says, if you arrest me now, Bill, he says, they'll assassinate your family within 24 hours. It's way over your head. But anyway, off the story of Bill, but Inslaw, McCoy, Bill was a private investigator, but Israel controls the U.S. telephone company, its internet company, its cell phones, if they're issued by the U.S. government. If they aren't, they're controlling it anyway. But it controls Bluffdale, which is a secret underground base with the alien base next to it out in Utah. And it controls Cheney Reservoir, which attacks me all the time, which is down in Wichita, part of the system, and over in Virginia, where the system is, and in Kentucky, where the system is. These are the secret.
Here's the issue. What did they do, and who stole it? Do you remember who stole it?
Yeah, the Israelis. They stole
but which Israeli?
It was the United States government stole the Inslaw software from Bill Hamilton, which he sold it to the Justice Department to track white collar crimes. So,
but don't you remember who stole the Inslaw algorithm? Who did it?
I forgot, Joe. My memory.
Maxwell.
Who?
Maxwell, Epstein's boss.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. My memory.
No. What I'm pointing out here is that things have gone beyond what you're talking about. That happened a long time ago. It is now to the point. How is it that Israel sits down at the top, tip-top of cyberspace? It is because of what is called the ARC CPU. It's a small CPU unit that sits on top of another CPU unit. And anybody that buys an Intel, they're going to have that ARC CPU. And where is it done? It's done in Silicon Valley East. I call it Silicon Valley East, but it is out in the desert someplace. It's out below Gaza. And that's where they have Silicon Valley. And they, a side note on this is, they get into trouble because in Israel, Saturday is the day of rest, and the computer people won't stop working. and the Orthodox rabbis are always having it. But saying that, in other words, Israel, the state, the country of Israel, can shut down a water treatment plant all the way over in San Francisco. What does that tell you?
Yeah, they're in control.
They are in control.
Yep.
And that's why I'm saying, initially, why he brought up the name of David Brock and what he had to say. We will not let any alt-right or Tucker Carlson into the Republican Party. And that's why we get into trouble, why things don't get done, why they stay the same. However, we have a really good explosion now of focusing on the Zionists. And your old buddy, once said that not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. And so we have a Zionist, which is now controlling the Knesset under Bibi Netanyahu. Don't you remember, Stu, when Trump had Bibi over and he had to scoot the chair under Bibi Netanyahu as he sat down? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, Trump had to, Bibi sat in the chair and Trump had to scoot the chair up under the table.
Under the fallen angel.
Yeah.
He's a fallen angel.
Yeah.
He is. He's a fallen angel.
Yeah.
Possessed.
Big Satanist.
Yep. Mass murder.
And he brought his dirty laundry to have Trump get it cleaned. So that tells you in the hierarchy of things who says to do what. So that's why it is. It's just, and that we can think what Charlie Kirk has done in revealing what is happening to Israel and the Palestinians. They are being absolutely wiped out.
Tucker Carlson's pushing it also real hard.
Yeah. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, and several other people.
Myself, they're committing suicide, genocide. They're killing mass amounts of people. They should be brought to trial and executed for their war crimes.
Yep.
Immediately.
That's exactly right. So that leaves us, what's next, huh?
Yeah.
What's next in this?
Yeah, what is next? What's your opinion, Joe?
I know one thing for sure. Peter Thiel and his commentary program is bad news. Every day that goes by, the increased power of AI, artificial intelligence, and what it's going to do. And Peter Thiel is right behind it. Right behind it. And they're going to, I think something's going to happen with Trump. That's what I think. But this is just my opinion. I think something is going to happen to Trump. Not bad, but I think he's going to give us a letter of resignation.
Someone pushed for his impeachment yesterday on the floor.
Yeah.
Announced their impeachment of him. Again, false impeachment. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be a sign right there.
Yep. Now, Joe.
Because,
go ahead.
Because I think you got to think in terms of positions of power. It begins first with the Rothschilds in the city of London. Then it goes to Tel Aviv and the Knesset. And that power base is laying out the script. And I think part of that script is for Trump to resign because of maybe health reasons. Because if he is not, he is, someone was telling me he was suffering from, he was having problems with his blood work and his calves and ankles are swelling, and so I think that the script might read that he'll resign, they'll put in balance under Thiel, and then go from there and continue the program. In other words, it's not to get rid of Trump, it's part of the script, that's what I think.
The 12 disciples of Satan. The 12 disciples of Satan that just had the big party last night, killing a baby, drinking its blood this morning. After midnight, they drink the blood. They have sex with kids. It was all done in Denver, Colorado last night at the old Navari, the old whorehouse downtown, the old whorehouse casino. It's now a museum of fine art that was owned by Leonard Melman, my ex-father-in-law, now controlled by Larry Mizell. And they put the party on down there. It's across from the Round Palace Hotel, the old Navari, and there's a ship's tavern. I noticed Johnson Super Spook walk through that tavern, and there's a hallway, and there's a door at the end. And he opened up the door and walked through the tunnel, went to the old Navari and pounded on the door. And they came, two big monster guards, big tall guys, came to the door. And, what do you want? I gotta see the Vice President, George Bush. I have an order from Casey here to be signed. He said, what's your name? Otis Johnson. So he says, wait a minute, close the door. And he waited about 5 minutes, and Bush came to the door. And the guards opened up the door and said, step in. And they shut the door. And Bush sitting there, he had a hood on, black hood. And they all had hood on and robes on, black robes. And he could see off in the distance a baby, an infant, being butchered, drinking its blood. They had already killed it, drinking its blood. It was laying on a table up there with a, you know, whatever, they're doing their human sacrifice. And he says, Mr. Vice President, I need this order signed. And he was William Casey's assistant, Otis was at the time. And when he died, he was the assistant to General Flynn by phone from his home, worked for the NSA in their computer system, worked from the home. Many of them did that, brain children. But the deal was, he says, I got to have this order signed. And he's looking at the order and said, Mr. Vice President, I can recognize it's your voice, but I got to see your face. He says, I want to make sure it's you. So he pulls his hood back. It was Bush. And while Bush is reading the order, Otis is looking around, and Bush says, Otis, I'm going to tell you, what you're seeing in here tonight, if you ever repeat anything about this to anybody, he says, I'll come personally kill you. Because they were doing a human sacrifice. Now, that's what happened last night, folks. Right there in Denver, they always do it on the summer and winter solstice. The other places around the country, I don't know all the places, but they do it on the ley lines. Now, Parker, what's his first name? Joe? Yeah, Jay Parker was part of a satanic family, and he witnessed Bibi Netanyahu doing a human sacrifice. He witnessed other people, and it's on the ley lines. And what, where's that in Delaware? One of the ley lines is like bloodlines of the earth.
It was a major ley line called the Arcadian Ley Line that goes between Rose Valley, Pennsylvania, and Arden, Delaware. And you can get on the internet and you can go to Google search and Google Maps, and you can take a ride through out in Delaware and Rose Valley. It's beautiful, beautiful. You wouldn't think that it was built specifically to do human sacrifice. And that's what they do.
And
there's a ley line that goes between them, so they do their sacrifice to interfere.
And
now, go ahead.
And there's a ley line that runs through Denver, Colorado. It's a huge one. And what they do with these ley lines, folks, after they do a human sacrifice, they put negativity and evil into the ley lines, thoughts, where it reflects back out of the ley lines into human beings. It's supposedly what it does. Go ahead, Joe. Am I wrong on that or right?
You're correct, because what it is, you have down in your feet, you have lines of meridian that's called acupuncture.
Yep.
And it goes all through your body, so that's how they infect people with through the ley lines. There's another one that I found out just recently, but a lot of other people already know about it. I don't know the name of it, but it ends and crosses some very important places, and one of them is the Vatican. And there's a guy by the name of Ken Kevin Annette, and he is a guy that has been pursuing holding court with common law courts, and he's been successful in getting convictions, but they don't have the power of the arrest, so that nullifies that. But he said there's a ley line that goes right through the Vatican, and in the Vatican, going straight down, in the middle of it, straight down, nine stories, it duplicates Dante's levels of hell, and that's where they do the sacrifices. That's one of the big places, is the Vatican.
You know,
and from the cardinals up to the Pope, absolutely controlled by the adversaries.
The devil. Now, Otis, before his death, had said, and this is when the Pope, Clovenhoof, the Black Pope behind the scenes, died. It was sometime 2000-something, like 2002 to 2010 or something, he died. But they called him Clovenhoof because he had one foot that was a goat's foot. He was the devil himself, in human form. And Otis told me he died. When he died, they were talking about all these different, in the news, kind of like, well, so-and-so's on a trip to here, so-and-so's on a trip to there, different leaders worldwide. Well, where did they go? Otis said there's a tunnel that runs from London all the way to the Vatican. It's an underground rail car system, just like we have. It runs from the White House, the Situation Room, I forget how many stories, 20 stories, 50 stories below ground, underneath the White House, and it runs from there all the way to Los Angeles, because Otis wrote on it one time. He said it took him 45 minutes with another secret agent, and they had to wear oxygen masks, and it was like a round bubble of fiberglass, and it was clear, and you could see going through there, and he said it was like being shot in a rocket, he says, into outer space for 45 minutes. And he said, man, he says, when we got to the other end, he said, we were breathing hard. Took them 45 minutes to go through that tunnel. Now, they run a tunnel from London all the way to the Vatican, and when Black Pope died, the devil, Clovenhoof, they had a big ceremony over there. So they got these tunnels running all around, folks. I mean, they're around the United States, like, unbelievable that the government uses. But Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, didn't Otis tell you that the entrance to, one of the entrances to this underground tube was in Kansas City, where the Senate, or St. Louis?
Well, yeah, there's an opening in Kansas City, yes. It's Crown Center. Down underneath Crown Center. Underneath there's a rail system, the old rail system down there. And it's part of it. And that's where federal employees, folks, in the event of a, you know, nuclear attack or whatever, they know where to go. They're told where to go. That's one of the places. Union Station, it's called. Union Station, Kansas City. They go over there and they unlock doors, security guards, federal employees, and they let all the federal employees come show your ID, and you're in here having a nuclear attack where the American people do not get to go in there. Okay?
That's it right there, that we do not. But they get to.
They get to, but we don't get to.
Yeah. Kind of makes it true then that Bill Schneider, who worked at Dulce on the Dulce Underground.
Yeah,
came out and throw the beams on the undergrounds. The facilities like at Denver and Area 51 and 52, Groom Lake, Papoose Lake, Tonopah. So there's all this underground, and it matches, by the way, there is allegedly here in Arizona, there is a underground base in Sedona called Boynton Canyon. And the way that it was told in the grapevine, they are a hologram there that you think that it's the side of the mountain, but it is not. Now down here in Phoenix, we have what is called the Phoenix Light. There's a guy named John Edmondson that bought a ranch that was near South Mountain. Well, the Phoenix Light was actually a 1.5 mile UFO that flew over South Mountain, turned around, and then flew into the mountain. And John Edmondson saw it happen. Very interesting. And so you have Luke Air Force Base, which is right next door to where this underground base of the alien exists. So you have all of these underground tunnels everywhere. And as some people have noted, and Stu, you remember that you used to have the films that the Earth is not hollow, and you have an entrance into the Antarctic and the Arctic.
Right.
I watched those films. Wasn't it done by Russians? I think it was. Yeah, it was done by Russians. And you could see it very clearly. It was very interesting. The Earth is not solid, it's hollow. Now, one of the Indian shaman told me, think of it as levels now. I will tell you right now, there are Apaches that know what's in the underground because they go there at certain times. They will tell you we only go there at certain times and not at any other time. And so you have this as this, what is his name? Red Urban, I can't remember. But anyway, he was a Hiyoka shaman. And he said, think of the Earth on the surface as level one. Then it goes down to level two, then level three, then level four, then level five, then level six. And the fallen angel reptilian lives at the third level, but operates finding gold down at the sixth level. So he also said that from the surface of Agartha to the surface of the Earth is 850 miles.
No.
Let me give a little bit of an introduction to those people that haven't heard this story before. Do you ever meet Phil Snyder?
I think I did, Joe.
When you went on your different speaking tongue.
I've met so many of the different ones in the Patriot community, Joe, that it's in the thousands of people I've met. Thousands of people when I was doing those speeches across the country in 1995. I mean, I went to 44 states, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was so many people I met, and I met so many of the other speakers and so forth, and I believe I met him, yes. But
yeah.
What'd you mention Snyder about?
Well, remember, you can go on the internet and look into Phil Snyder.
Yeah, Phil.
Now, he was the son of a German U-boat captain who had been captured by the Allies, and they turned him into working for them because he had all of this knowledge that was top engineering. And so they brought him in to some of the more secret events that were going on, including Phil Snyder's dad worked with Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Phil Snyder was tasked was doing an underground work on the Dulce underground facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke inadvertently into an area where the aliens were, little grays. And so Phil freaked out, drew a pistol, and shot one of them, and the others shot him.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he ended up being strangled to death.
No. There was something I was going to say on this. That... Oh, God. There's 200,000 of them, according to Otis. 200,000 fallen angels registered with the NSA since 1952. They called it the 1952 to 2012 Alien Agreement. Now, John Lear, who worked out at Area 51, test pilot, told me the same thing. 1952 to 2012 Alien Agreement. Because John's dad built the flying saucers in 1952, started them, 150 of them for the U.S. government. Now, that was the agreement, but... And in 1958, he was pushed out. He was almost done with the completion of his contract. But he spoke to someone, because it was all top secret. He spoke to someone, and that got him in trouble, and he lost the contract. But he owned Lear Jets, and he sold in 52 to his partner and took the contract. Now, I have John down on audio. It's in one of the columns. I think it was in Breaking News number 4, or maybe 3. That he's in there talking about this. Now, in an interview with him. Now, Otis told me the 200,000 are all fallen angels. And I said, well, you know, Genesis, it talks about a third of the fallen, or the angels fallen. That's about 333,000 out of the estimated million, we'll call it, that Genesis talks about. Now, Otis said 200,000 of them are registered. And he said, when one dies, human that's possessed by him, the next one they're supposed to register. He said they don't always do it, but anyway, indicated they have them registered. So, we know who they are, okay? 200,000 of them. They're in control, folks. The fallen angels are in control, period. And people don't realize it. Now, you were talking about the Hollow Earth, Joe. When I was remodeling Otis's house, and it pissed him off, and oh, it pissed him off really that I was there. The NSA, because he was working for him out of his house on his computer, okay? I mean, he was working about 6 to 7 hours a day, brain child, one of many that they had on these different shifts, and he was working for General Flynn, not at that time, but it's the other general, the nasty one. Matter of fact, he tried to have me killed at one time, bastard, forget his name, but why was there... He pulls out a couple, because I'm talking to him about the Hollow Earth and the whole thing. He says, yeah, it's hollow. Because of the book, The Hollow Earth, Admiral Byrd, and I had heard about it. And I thought, fuck. So he, excuse me, ladies, for saying the word F. He takes out his file cabinet, pulls two sheets out, digs in a file. He had about 4 or 5 file cabinets in there in his office, off the living room. He digs in the file cabinet. He pulls out 2 sheets of paper, and they're reports from U.S. Air Force jets chasing 2 unidentified flying objects, UFOs, into the North Pole, and they were ordered to follow them in there. The North Pole is 70 kilometers wide. They flew their jets in there. Their gauges went nuts. They talked about it in the report. Their gauges were nuts and everything else, but they said they saw a sun in there. And it was like a big, huge river going into it. Big, huge river going into the center of the earth. So they flew in there for a little ways. And then they decided that they didn't know where the gas gauge was. Their gauges weren't working. So they turned around and came out. One followed the other one back out of the Hollow Earth. Now, later, Otis wouldn't give me a copy of that because it's still top secret. But later... Admiral Byrd wrote in his book, The Hollow Earth, he chased the Nazis into the South Pole, World War II, had a firefight, lost 2,000 men and ships. He came out with himself and another ship, out of the hollow earth on the south end of the pole, and he came out. Then later the U.S. government had him testify in secret about what he saw, so they sent him into the North Pole to go in there. So he wrote the book, The Hollow Earth. Anyway, it's a good read, folks. You should read it. This was an admiral that experienced it and was there. Anyway, it proves it. Now, it happens to be that the one in Colorado, Joe, the hole up there.
The Argos.
The Argos tunnel. Now that's hollow earth, folks. It goes to the center of the earth, and the government uses it, and the government uses it as a system, the Argo. They got the Western White House, they call it, in case of nuclear attack. They have it set up there. And during the 1990s, they were moving thousands of employees from Washington, D.C. to Denver, Colorado, building new homes, 2,500, 3,000 square foot houses. Because a friend of mine that was murdered out there, Jack Bruner, he was a drywall contractor, was doing 5 to 6 new houses a week, subbing to work. He was that busy. Anyway, because all these people were moving in there, and it went on during the 1990s. Now, that was because of the Argos. It's huge. And I was out on 6th and Kipling in Denver, and was out there near the Federal Center, going someplace to some building there. Came out, and it was shift change around 3 o'clock or 3:30, and they wouldn't let me move. They had federal agents out there, federal cops, and they were making everybody stop. I had to wait 45 minutes for the damn hole to empty out. It was car after car after car. Hundreds and hundreds, if not 1,000 cars came up out of there. And it came up, it's a little building there in a parking lot, and they drive into the building, and it goes into the parking lot, and you never see it, and you don't notice it. And there's about 12 cars up there at the federal building in Denver, 6th and Kipling. Sometime around shift change, go out there and experience it for yourself. That's what comes out of there. But that's the Argo, and they fly the Aurora airplane into it. It shift changes. It's element 115. It's mu metal, they call it. And it shift changes in the air to get its speed. It goes 35,000 miles an hour, according to Jim Rothstein, that knows about this. It exposed the finders. It wasn't Ted Gunderson that exposed the finders. It was Jim Rothstein. Anyway, with that said, Joe, you want to add to anything? Here, I want to play something real quick, because I was playing it just now, because I found it when, or just now, 38 minutes ago. If I can do this, if not, Joe, I'm going to put it on the end of this tape. Is General Flynn talking about the fact that Pam Bondi is not bringing prosecutions? We discussed this earlier. So anyway, I found it, and I'm hoping you can hear it. I'm going to switch over here. If not, I thank you for coming on, but I'm going to switch over here and see if I can actually play it in with the audio, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. I think we're there, Joe. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I don't know if it let me play it or not while I'm on the phone. Here we go, yeah. I'm hoping the sound will come up, Joe. It may not while I got you on the phone, okay? It won't do it.
Oh, okay, that's all right. We can do it at another
okay.
time.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, hang on. Joe, you still there? Okay, I'm going to hang up with you, and I'm going to play it on the end. I can play it on the end. Okay?
Okay.
You hang up, and I'll play it. Okay?
All right.
Okay, talk to you later. Hang on, folks.
We are nowhere near where we need to be. I mean,
this
nowhere.
General
so
Flynn.
Clearly from the very beginning, Pam was the wrong choice. I'm sorry, Pam. You know, I don't know her well. I've met her, but she's not the right choice, you know, to lead the Department of Justice to get the things done that Trump said he was going to do.
Why do you think we're not seeing more action from the Attorney General Pam Bondi? It's baffled many people. It baffles me. I really don't get it.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it, Eric, and I won't try to speculate too much because I'm not in the inner circle there inside of the Department of Justice. I would say that during the transition, prior to coming into the presidency, you have to have a plan, and it didn't seem like Pam Bondi was going to have any problems getting confirmed, and she did not. But one of the things that I didn't see a plan that was articulated even during her confirmation hearing. I just heard a lot of answers to different things and a lot of problems about weaponization and such, which we all know about, but an actual plan to come in, you know, and literally, like they say, hit the ground running. And it doesn't appear that they hit the ground running. It does not. And I know that you've got to get a team in place and all that, but I mean, we still have a lot of U.S. attorneys around the country that were put in place by the Biden administration. We still have many inside of the District of Columbia U.S. Attorney's Office, where Judge Jeanine Pirro is the current USAG. You know, that place is still filled with vipers. I mean, so it doesn't seem like they had a plan to actually, number one, do some reforms and do some cleaning, house cleaning, and number two, go after the you know, what we are now seeing and what we just witnessed here in the last couple of days with Comey and James's dismissal. I mean, I'm sure that they'll get, they're going to be appealed and all that sort of business, but we shouldn't even be here. So that sort of tactical stuff said, Eric, I think really where we're at is Trump he has fallen into the trap of his first term again, and particularly inside of the Department of Justice. Different people, different times, but the same issues, right? It's still deep state. It's still people that are coming after him. It is not politics as usual.
All right, well, the gentleman, but the question is, well, how can that be? It doesn't make sense to me because Trump 2.0, Trump 47, is radically different. How would it be that he would allow Pam Bondi not to hit the ground running? How would he pick her to be his attorney general? I mean, is it because he thought it was going to be Matt Gaetz and then something happened and he had to shift?
Yeah.
I mean, what can explain where we are?
Because yeah, the buck stops. You're right. I mean, I do. Well, it was Matt Gaetz at first, right? And whether or not Matt would, you know, be doing any different, I don't know. But he's definitely a different guy. And then they had to fall back on Pam Bondi. You know, and I feel like the people that are there are not doing the things that the United States, that the people of this country wanted Trump to do when he first walked into office. I mean, accountability was job number one. And of course, fixing our election system and getting a fair election system is job number two. And they both really are top priorities. And in both cases, we have lost momentum. Now, on the election side, I feel very good where Trump is now, but I didn't feel good, you know, 2 months ago. Where we are with the justice and accountability, not just with Russiagate, but with January 6th, with, you know, we can go through the whole litany of things, everything. We are nowhere near where we need to be. I mean, nowhere. So clearly from the very beginning, Pam was the wrong choice. I'm sorry, Pam. You know, I don't know her well. I've met her, but she's not the right choice, you know, to lead the Department of Justice to get the things done that Trump said he was going to do. So he needs to get somebody new in there. And you know, the funny thing about the Attorney General, Eric, is the Attorney General by the Constitution does not need to be a lawyer. That's a lot of people don't know that. What you need is you need a leader. You need a leader of a large organization that can get in there and do the right things and make the right decisions and push the people that you do have, push the prosecutors that you do have to do the right things. I mean, there was another lawyer, good lawyer, who I also think could step into the role. And, well, I'll mention him, David Schoen. He's another good guy. You may know David. You know, he supported one of Trump's impeachment hearings. David's another good guy. Whether Sidney's the right person or whether she wants the job, doesn't matter. We clearly don't have the right person leading the Department of Justice. at the end of the day, though, and this is, you know, because I know a lot of people watch your show, to include the President of the United States, you know, the chief magistrate in the United States of America, the top lawyer or the top prosecutor or whatever you want to call it, the top law enforcement official, to be very precise, in the United States of America is the President of the United States, not the Attorney General. And Trump, he did this in the first administration, and I watched it while I was going through my own persecution. He would say, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens over in the Department of Justice. We'll see what, you know, we'll see what Rosenstein does. We'll see what Jeff Sessions does. And of course, what we saw was Trump's first presidency being completely undermined by the Mueller investigation. Well, now it's not necessarily being undermined. It's just being slow rolled. It's being slow rolled because.
But I still can't imagine that he would not be as upset about this as you are and as I am. That's what I don't understand.
I think he is upset. I don't want to you know, speculate on that. But I believe that Trump is upset because he's hearing it across the country right now from a lot of people that are in his camp, like me. I'm in his camp, and I want him to be successful. But I want him to understand that at a certain point in time, you got to pull the Band-Aid. And I wish he had done something differently at the beginning, but he didn't. He chose who he chose. Okay, fine. You know, we waited to this point. I mean, we're talking about, whatever, 9-10 months into the administration, and there's just nothing to show. And then this most recent decision by another judge who's, you know, part of the whole problem that with the judiciary. But these are things that were avoidable. These types of issues that we just witnessed with Comey and James, these were avoidable, very easily avoidable. But when you go back to the beginning, when you're choosing these people, and I hate to revisit things, but Trump needs to say to himself now, because he's got very little time. I mean, we're under a year now to the next election. And I have said many times, Eric, that we are not, like Reagan said, one generation away from losing everything. We are one election away. We're not even one presidency, because I don't think if he doesn't get through this election, that's why I say accountability and the elections. Those are the two things, and those are both really deeply held America First issues. With all the other craziness going on around the world, you know, the foreign policy issues he's got, the two primary things that he must do that are clearly America First, MAGA base issues, is hold people accountable and let's get our elections straightened out. And if he doesn't do those two things, and frankly, he doesn't have that much time to get that done.
And this is Stu Webb here at stuwebb.com, folks. Have a good day.